This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Believes to be of quality. But there is, unseen by most, an episodic horror-based TV show. A show that still holds up. A show called Tales from the Dark Side.
Halley's Comet should soon be within sighting distance. I will now prepare the telescope.
Hey, what's up, and welcome back to Talks from the Dark Side, the podcast where we talk about Tales from the Dark Side, the 80s horror television show created by Richard Rubenstein and George Romero. I'm Joel Escola.
I'm Sean O'Rourke.
And I'm Chris Barr.
Today we're talking about Comet Watch, directed by Warner Shook and written by Harvey Jacobs and Jewel Shelbo, with a premiere date of January 2nd, 1986.
So we got another Warner Shook episode here, boys.
I'm fucking shook, brother. Yeah. I love Warner Shook. So he's from Creepshow.
Right.
In the Father's Day segment, he's in that. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, right. Okay, yeah. I was like, why does that name sound so familiar? Okay, yeah. And if you go back and check out our Creepshow episode that we did with Chris, we talk about Warner Shook, and I had actually got a chance to meet him and talk to him a little bit about Tales from the Dark Side and Monsters, because he also did the Grandma's Last Wish episode.
Right. Oh, my God.
And
Buzz.
But yeah, your girlfriend, Woof.
Exactly.
And he also does another one from this season called Deliver Us from Goodness.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the infamous Mr. Schlobber episode, which we'll get to in Monsters.
Oh, Monsters. Oh, okay. Hence why that actress keeps popping up.
Yes.
Yeah. So he's kind of like a little bit of everywhere.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I associate his name with some of my favorite episodes.
Yeah,
to tell you the truth, like
especially
Mr. Schlobber,
the Monsters ones.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mr. Schlobber is one of our faves from Monsters, and Comet Watch. This episode is one of my favorites from this season specifically, and I think Tales from Dark Side as a whole, even though it's not scary.
Yeah,
I think it's a solid fucking comedy entry.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll get into it, but it's like I feel like we got some fun stuff to talk about in this episode,
big time, and everybody is on fucking fire in this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, before we get into this episode, Chris, can you please read us the Fangoria synopsis?
Yeah, so the official Fangoria guide goes, capitalizing on the then-current Halley's Comet hype, this segment spins the tale of an amateur astronomer whose telescope gazing brings him a visit from Sir Edmund Halley himself.
I mean, that's the episode.
Yeah, that's a pretty good pretty good tease of what's ahead.
That's how you do a synopsis.
Yeah,
but there's also there's not really any kind of twist per se. Maybe.
Yeah, it's like, I mean he'd get a visit from
Sir Edmund Halley.
Ed Halley.
There's if you even want to call it a twist, but you see it coming from a fucking mile away at the end. But yeah, it's pretty clean cut.
Yeah. So yeah, Harvey Jacobs writes this with Jewel Shelbo. Harvey Jacobs also wrote It All Comes Out in the Wash. Another episode that we're going to be getting to called A New Lease on Life, which he also did. Grave Robber and Seymour Llama with David Gale. And I think this is the closest that Fritz Weaver and David Gale have gotten together.
Which is hilarious because I always mix them up.
Oh, like at a quick glance kind of thing or just in general?
Just in general. It's like, I feel like this is like the like C-list, like Pittsburgh version of like of Vincent Gale. Price and Christopher Lee.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
I mean, I would even argue, I'm saying that at least, I'll say it, that at a glance, they kind of look similar. I mean, when you really start to look at them, it falls apart. But at a glance, I can see David Gale.
I'm a huge fan of David Gale and Fritz Weaver. And I have said this a bunch, but like, I wish that they had been in a movie together, like opposite each other. That would have fucking made my day. And like, I don't care what it was about.
Yeah.
Just as long as they were acting across each other.
Yeah.
It's like, Al Pacino and Robert De Niro in Heat.
Yeah, exactly. That,
it's like, they finally did it. It's like, that'd be us for like them in like some shit movie.
Sign me the fuck up, dude.
It's like, oh, it was a mutant polar bear attacking a research facility.
Sure.
David Gale's a scientist. Fritz Weaver is
he's a psychic.
Yeah. Psychic. Yeah, there you go. They're funded. Let's do it.
He's in charge of the air traffic control and he causes an accident and he starts to lose it.
Turns out the polar bear has a ghost attached to it or
something.
There
we go. Yeah. There's the movie. Yeah.
Something with an animal in a box eating people under the stairs.
I don't know. Harvey Jacobs also did a couple of Monsters episodes too. He did New York Honey and The Mandrake Root, which are both solid episodes.
New York
of Monsters.
Honey's fun.
New York Honey's funny, yeah. Did that rhyme? Okay.
That's fine.
And Jules Shelbo wrote Grandma's Last Wish, The False Prophet, The Shrine, Can't Help Saying Goodbye, which is the next season, which I really like that episode. Yeah.
I know we're throwing a lot out here, but it's like these are like, the deeper into these we go, it's like we're starting to see like who's worked on what, all contained in either Tales from the Dark Side or Monsters.
Yeah, and it's been, like you said, like as we go, the more and more it accumulates.
Yeah.
You know? She also did Deliver Us Some Goodness, which is also directed by Warner Shook. Mary Mary, which I really love, which I also thought was I always get confused the name of the next episode. Yep. And Barter. And she also wrote for Monsters, All in a Day's Work, Satan in the Suburbs, and Mr. Slobber. Satan in the Suburbs and Mr. Slobber, of course, directed by Warner Shook. Mm-hmm. We have Anthony Held as Engelbert. What is it? Engelbert Ames.
Humperdinck.
Engelbert Humperdinck.
Yeah. This kind of floor mat kind of character who's getting walked over by his fucking wife constantly.
Oh, he's fucking great, man. He's in Deep Rising.
Yes.
He's like the classic, like that guy.
Yeah. Oh,
it's like, you know, you've seen him. He's in all sorts of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And he's dressed like Professor Plum in this. If that does anything for you.
He's in Deep Rising. He's in Silence of the Lambs and Red Dragon, you said, too? He's in that as well?
Yeah, he's in both of those. Yeah. And I know him mostly from, he was...
Bushwhacked, of course.
Bushwhacked.
Right.
No, he was Langsdale in 8mm.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
I haven't seen that in a minute.
That's so good.
Yeah, I need to go revisit that. But yeah, he plays this doormat of a character who has this overbearing wife, and... he works for his wife's dad, and all he wants to do is kind of stargaze because Holly's Comet is about to pass the Earth, and he's gonna be dragged to some fucking like dinner or some bullshit. Yeah. And
Elvis is in the car.
Yeah,
and it only comes by every 75.8 years,
something like that.
Yeah,
because they say 75 and then some.
Yeah,
and then his wife actually says like Haley's Comet.
Did you Haley's Comet?
He corrects her.
Oh, and she doesn't like that.
I always pronounce it as Haley's Comet.
Yeah, me too.
Most people did.
But I think after this, I'm like, nope. That's not how it is.
Yeah. Well, again, there was that craze around this. I'm sure that was almost like in the culture at the time. Almost like, oh, the people that got it wrong, assholes. Now you know the real deal on Tales from the Dark Side.
Yeah. Well, I think it's also a thing of like people just mispronouncing it throughout whoever. Yeah. Royal Dano should be told how to pronounce
exactly.
it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But already like right off the bat, like with this couple, it's like you already get an idea of the dynamic here. Mm. It's like this little doormat of a guy and like this shrew of a woman.
Oh, yeah.
Which you've seen 100 times either in this series or other series. I know Tales from the Crypt does it a lot.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
With Corbin's Calamity.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that's a good classic one. Yeah. It's like there's all sorts of like this couple like we've seen before. And it's like, so you already get what's going on here. Like, cool. All right.
Well, she's getting it at the end of the episode. So Charlene, his wife, is played by Kate McGregor, famously from Scrooge, who gets hit with the fucking lamppost. Yeah. You can hardly see them nipples. She's also
also in Grandma's Last Wish.
Also in Grandma's Last Wish is the mother, and she's also the mother in the Mr. Schlobber episode of Monsters.
That's right.
She is the mom from there.
So like I was saying, they have to go to this dinner, and she's trying to like get him to go because like. Again, he like works for her dad and he's going to teach him all how to, you know, what is it? Imminent foreclosure.
Yeah. All sorts of, she's just throwing out like terms.
Do you think that her father is one of the guys from, I'll Give You a Million?
Could be.
Think so?
Some relation.
Yeah.
Or there's a crossover here with a Life Bomb.
Oh, Life Bomb? Yeah. You think so? Yep. Yeah, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Well, her dad obviously signed up for it. He can't
exactly.
die.
Exactly. Yeah.
But, like, a key point of this, this whole, like, tension between him and his wife, again, he's getting walked over, but he's also just, like, not listening at the same time is because he has this fucking massive telescope that came with the house, by the way.
Oh, it's awesome, too. It's gigantic.
Yes.
It's like the fucking Hubble, man. It's
huge. It's a giant prop that takes up like a good chunk of the room.
Yeah. You're expecting it like out of like a movie or like in like a, what do they call those things? Basically where they have those massive telescopes, there's a name for those buildings. I forget. It's escaping me at the moment. But it feels like one of those, like a conservatory.
An observation. I think it's conservatory.
Yeah.
Right?
You know what I'm talking about. But those big ass things, it feels observatory. Like an observatory. Yeah. But it's just this guy's fucking house.
Yeah. But he's got one of those sweet ass fucking walk up attics, yes. Like the old school, like Victorian.
Makes me think of Merlin in Son of Dracula a little bit.
Oh, kinda, yeah.
Except he was flying around space.
It's a cool room, and it's like this is a little more like setting or a little more of a set piece than we usually have.
Yeah, 100%.
Instead of just like an apartment room.
Yeah. It reminds me of like the attic like Bastion's in Neverending Story, in the school, kind of looks like that.
Like so, skeleton in the window.
Yeah, exactly. So he's obsessed with this thing. And like you guys are saying, the wife is out in the car waiting. And he's like, hey, well, just one more minute. I'm really like studying this thing. And he's like looking. You're like, okay, where's this going? This fucking like light starts hitting him through the telescope and there's like fog. He's like,
yeah, he sees like a woman. Like, oh, right. Yeah, some, yeah. At first it's all smoke and everything. And
he like smacks himself
help
in the
me.
Face.
Yeah.
Help me. Help me, Anthony Held. You're my only hope.
Yeah.
This fucking...
You must contact me.
Yeah, well, right, yeah.
Fucking Phantom Menace.
A little bit.
The fucking telescope, like, cracks open, and this woman flies out into his lap. And her name's Lara, and she was from 1910. This was her home. She's like, oh, my God, I'm safe. I was riding the comet. Yeah. And he's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, it's like, what is happening? And it's already like, I know we just had it a few episodes ago, but it's almost like Ring Around the Redhead.
Oh, kind of.
Same kind of thing. It's like a woman appears.
Yeah, well,
he's like, a little bit.
Well, now that you say that, like filming these kind of months apart instead of like where you'd be watching this week to week, it's like, damn, that's a good point.
Yeah, but also like Ring Around the Redhead is totally played straight.
Sure.
Yeah. And this is for laughs. Like,
this one's way goofier. Yeah. Which isn't a bad thing. No, I'll say it right now.
No, it's not a bad thing at all. Anthony Held gets a beautiful woman from 1910, and Royal Dano gets killer clowns.
Well,
when Holly's comet comes around,
and Pooh Bear takes
Pooh Bear takes the brunt of that
shit.
Yeah,
really, gets eaten by one of those fucking little clowns.
So she's like freaking out, and she's like, oh, I gotta go downstairs and get married. The doctor's waiting for me, and it's my wedding day. You're coming to the reception.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Well, first she's like, please, close it. Close it. I don't want him following me.
Oh yeah.
And she's like totally like panicked and like.
And he's like, who? And he's like, you just came out of my telescope.
And she doesn't really address that.
No.
She just says, oh, I have to get married.
Yeah.
I have to get married downstairs.
I'm back.
Yeah. Well, how is she going to explain the Wild Hunt to this guy?
Yeah.
You know, it's a Witcher thing. They're fucking guys on horseback chasing her. I don't know.
And then it finally dawns on her that, you know, where's my phonograph? Where's my curtains? And she's like, what year is it? What year is it?
Where's my looking glass? He's like, mirror.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, she's all confused. Like, what year is it?
Mm. Yeah, she's like, oh, what year is it? And he's like, 1986?
Well, he doesn't just say it. He's like, hold on, let me plus my clock radio. This thing, 1986.
Yeah, Mookie's in there. He's got his fucking Mookie clock. And she's like, you wear your timepiece on your wrist?
Yeah, yeah. Frankenstein Unbound shit. Yeah. She has like no reaction. She's like, oh, okay, yeah, robot, sure.
So she's all sad and shit because she thinks she's like old and disgusting.
Yeah,
and like,
I'm 95 years old.
And I was supposed to get married and now the doctor's not around. And she's crying and he's like, would you like a Kleenex? She's
No, I'm not hungry. It's great.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
He shows her the mirror and she's like, oh, I look pretty good, actually.
She looks great.
Yeah.
And she wants something to eat, so he gives her like a chicken sandwich and shit. She's like, you got a beer? I was Miss Suds in New York, upstate New York.
I love how she bites into the chicken, though, when she didn't take the plastic off. Yeah. He's like, we usually take that off first. She's like, this is delicious.
I love chicken.
I love the processed taste of this.
I love beer, too.
God, that beer probably knocked her on her ass. You think about the percentage. I don't know if it would have been more in her day or less.
I don't know. I guess we're making homebrews and shit, right?
Where were we in the 80s, though?
Definitely
in the 1910s. There's a moonshine.
In the 1910s, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Not even the moonshine, just the beer.
Yeah, I was just weird thing I was thinking about. How sloshed is she?
So we come to find out that there's a window that opens when Holly's comet passes the Earth. And when the window opens, you can, I don't know what, transport yourself
to it.
You can literally like transport yourself to the comet. And then like, I guess there's a sustained atmosphere on the comet where you just hang out and ride through the fucking galaxy. Dude,
which is like totally, it's not explained. And no. It's like just in another episode, we're like, oh, this wasn't explained.
Yeah,
like,
I know. Sucks.
But this works. Here,
it's fine. It's like, I can like turn off my brain enough to be like, all right, it's fine.
Sure, magic comet.
It's not trying to like overly explain anything.
No,
it's
this just is like, you know, sitcom comedy logic, yeah, yep. Sabrina the Teenage Witch, exactly, Bewitched kind of bullshit. It's like, no, it's just silly fun.
Yeah.
But also, like, apparently you need this telescope that I guess has the tech to be able to teleport you onto this comet or something. Again, don't
like
overthink it.
You have to
it.
See it close enough to be able to, like, ride it.
You have to look at it. Yeah. And then, but, like, is this telescope made where you can... like specifically to transport yourself through, because the fucking front like opens up and you get like sucked through.
Yeah,
this
it has
hole.
To be open. The back of the telescope has to be open.
It's not like you go through the eyepiece; like the whole thing opens.
So what if it's not open? Like, what if the telescope's just sitting there and like nobody's
dormant?
In the room? Do you just like hang out and like all mangled
like,
inside the telescope?
Oh yeah, right.
Oh my god, yeah, it's a Jumanji. Or
you
something.
Only have to use this every 75 years. If you use it any other time, you're basically gonna turn into a ball of mush.
Well, the magic stars need to align, and the comet needs to come by for it to activate. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, but to you guys' point, it basically is like, you know, from Thor, like a rainbow bridge kind of situation. But, you know, long story short, the wife comes up and is like, what's going on up here? And he's like, oh, hide in the closet, hide in the closet.
Yeah.
And the wife's like, I'm waiting in the car with Elvis, the dinner. And he's like, I can't go. I just can't go with you. I'm sorry. I can't even explain it. I have nothing I could possibly say that could get me out of this.
And you think for being so into astrology as guy is, you think he would have mentioned it to his wife?
No,
that
I
there's
mean,
like this once in a lifetime meteor.
I guess she's
before
care.
Dinner.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Well,
because he mentions like, oh, I don't think I'll be able to make dinner. It's like, you should have. Chris is like,
Chris, I don't think they have the best relationship. Know, yeah. They don't talk about anything. There is no.
At least to get her off his ass.
Discussions.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, maybe right. Make something up.
Yeah.
Pretend like
you're
sick.
I'm cheating on you.
Oh no!
Leave me alone.
Don't do that.
But she's like demanding, "Who is this? Who are you?" And then. I well, don't know why, but
well,
she's...
Well, the way that this happens is so fucking funny because she's like, fuck your telescope, and she like hits the thing.
Yeah,
and
starts
Fritz Weaver...
smoking and shaking and everything.
It's smoking and shit, and the fucking blowing everything around the room, and the door opens, and he sees the woman, and she sees the woman. She's like, who the fuck is that?
Right.
Not missing a beat, Fritz Weaver falls out of this fucking telescope right onto this woman, and it just does not stop. I laugh... Every fucking word out of this guy's mouth is hilarious.
This is really good. And it's like this, you know, right as soon as he comes out, it's like,
Gadzooks, you're all woman, aren't you?
Yeah, you're all woman.
Is he supposed to be from the 16 or 1700s, he says?
I think Edmund Holly is from what? The 1600s.
Okay, right?
Yeah, like 1680s, I think it was.
He's old. He's got the whole regalia with the wig and everything.
Yeah, the big wig, the hose on and stuff.
Yeah, he was British?
I think he was supposed to be,
One of the fucking, like, greatest minds that ever lived.
Yeah, but he's like hamming it up here.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And it's great.
He's Fritz Weavering it up.
Yeah. his like classically trained like theatrical background is just coming through full force in this, and it just works so well. Like, there has got to be another movie where Fritz is like doing like a comedy routine. He's great in all the horror stuff we see him in. Like, he's also in the Inside the Closet episode if you guys missed that.
Oh yeah.
And of course, Creepshow. But there's got to be like, he's got to be in a comedy, right?
I gotta
look
it up. Or if he was like one of the characters in like Bill and Ted.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, imagine that. It's like
if he was Edmund Holly in Bill and Ted. Yeah.
Because he's just like, his whole thing is like, he's been riding the fucking comet too, but he needs Lair. He needs his fucking companion. He's his queen of the universe.
Yeah. I've been flip-flopping all over the place, and we're in America with the noxious gases and all this bullshit. He picks up the beer and like smells it at one point.
Yeah.
And just like little things like that.
Yeah, little
some
touches.
He's like,
he's just hamming it up, and it's just so fun to watch him.
But like at the same time, as silly as he's being, and this is a little bit towards the end of the episode, but they're even like, so what have you fucking been doing out there? And he's like, well, I've actually been charting the galaxy, but never like elaborates on it.
Well, yeah, because he's writing the comic.
Yeah.
It's so funny though, because like Lara's there and Edmund's there and you know, Charlene's there, and she's like, what is this, Halloween?
Meanwhile, again, dad or Elvis, what is Elvis dad? Whoever, this guy's in this fucking car waiting.
No, this just a
time.
It's just a chauffeur.
Yeah.
That they call Elvis. Yeah.
Well,
name
that's his name.
What.
Yeah. Like, I can't, you got to see the episode to do it justice, but like, it's really funny. The writing is like so on point here. And they're basically going through the motions of like, what he was doing there and how he got sucked up there and how Lara got sucked up the last time Halley's Comet or Halley's Comet passed the Earth. And yeah, like Sean said, like that's his queen of the universe, right? And he's in love with her. He's like infatuated. Yeah. So he's like, you got to come back with me. You're my companion.
But she wants nothing to do with this. No, she's like sick of the 75 years of this guy's pain in the ass.
And
stuff.
It's like insinuated that they were like doing stuff, you know, doing something. I mean, don't
you're
know
up there
what.
For 75 years. Yeah. I mean, I don't care if you're attracted or not. You might want to pull on something at some point.
So she doesn't want to go back. And Fritz is like, you have to come back. And
it's going to throw the balance of the universe off if you don't come back. And they're like, all right, I don't know about that.
So Engelbert's like now in the middle of this because Charlene's like, you're going to send her back, right, Engelbert? And he's like, oh.
Yeah, it gets kind of weird here because like Laura, who came through the telescope, and Engelbert are like flirting and she keeps looking at him and it's very apparent.
Why are you
that
looking at him? I love that you keep saying that. Stop looking at him like that. You stop looking at her like that.
And even Fritz Weaver kind of mentions to him, it's like, no, it's like she deserves someone better.
Yeah. Someone more accomplished.
That can wear fucking, a hose with flair. Which is like the best part.
Someone we get a hose with. Yeah, that's fucking so
like
good.
That clip has to be in here.
Oh, it does. Yeah. The way he delivers these lines, it just, again, the way he's moving around the screen is just. He was a one of a kind, man.
So he's so good.
Someone who can wear a hose with a flare.
So Engelbert is quizzing Holly to make sure that he's who he says he is.
Yeah, going through.
And he's like, well, of course. I fucking.
He's got the fucking drawing or painting on the wall, but okay.
No, well, he's trying to.
I know.
He's trying to stop them from going back on the comet.
Yeah.
So,
it's like an underhanded tactic.
Yeah, what were you doing in 1675? Yeah.
Actually, I was on the island of whatever, charting the whatever.
What have you done?
What have you done? Well, I actually haven't done much. Yeah. And he's like, because you're a fucking loser. Well, see you. Holly tries to bribe Engelbert to let him go with Lara. And he'll give him the coordinates of like the supernova that's going to happen. And he's like, you'll be famous. You could name yourself after a supernova or whatever.
And he's like, oh, a supernova.
Like, this is incredible.
And it almost gets him. Yeah, like, he's tempted.
Yeah. So the window's closing and
he's like, what time is it? 8:26. Well, we need to get this done now.
Oh, yeah. Mookie lets him know that it's 8:26. And the telescope opens and Charlene like pushes Edmund Holly through it and he flies in and then she goes to tackle Lara and she's like, you're next, girly.
And she goes in.
She fucking does the old sidestep and Charlene gets sucked up into the telescope.
I was waiting for 15 minutes. I was like, all right, this moment's getting fucking ejected at some point.
It's so good.
That's always how it happens when there's like this kind of like couple.
Yeah.
It's like, that's always how it goes. And it's fine.
It's just a total like worst case scenario ending ever. There's like no in between.
No. Anyway, Engelbert looks like the doctor without a mustache, apparently. So Lara's like infatuated with him and they kiss and stuff.
A man's upper lip is not attractive.
And he's like, oh, you should grow a handlebar.
She'll only face fuck him if he grows a mustache.
That's where the fabled mustache ride comes from, Sean.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. It ends and they're kissing or whatever. And like over it, you hear Fritz Weaver and what's her face like arguing and stuff.
Yeah. Slow down, Ed. You're going too fast.
Oh, I want to see the.
Yes, Your Majesty.
He's like, I have a beautiful black hole that I'd like you to see.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's like, well, step on it, Ed.
I know nothing about science. Sounds great.
He's going to fucking toss that bitch right in there.
This keeps like going.
It's so funny.
For like half a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Over the credits. Yeah.
It's pretty hilarious.
It's fucking great.
It's pretty good. Yeah.
It's too fast, Ed. He's like, that's the nature of comets, madam.
Oh, yeah.
So many good one-liners in this, man. But yeah, what do we think of this episode?
I think it's a weird episode. It's quirky, but I like it.
Oh yeah.
It's fine. It's like usually I don't, and I've, you know, said it in the other, you know, the like comedy episodes. It's like I don't like when Tales goes like leans into the comedy more.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, I don't need every episode to have like a creature or something, but like when it goes comedy, I want it done well. And I think this is like Tails doing comedy well.
You don't like Jin No Chaser?
No, not really.
Nobody likes that one.
That fucking episode
I think
sucks.
We might have one or two comments ever that were like, I like that one. It's like, hey, you're allowed to, but I don't know why.
Yeah.
This one's good. I mean, I don't know if I like it as much as you guys do, but it is a really fun episode. I feel like it's kind of telegraphed a little bit that the wife's going to get sent to the end, but who cares? It's like, all right, let's see how we get there. And you have a little bit of a happy ending, which... You know, Tails often kind of leaves characters either, like we just kind of said, either with the worst thing possible happens to him, something nice happens to him, or something you're just totally unexpecting. And this was kind of the middle one where it's like, all right, yeah, happy ending. But with that fantasy element, just kind of ratcheting up everything. Really well done episode. I know you're saying it's a little bit like that other episode, concept of pulling someone in from a different dimension, but those similarities kind of end there. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have much else to say. I like this one. Don't love it, but it's pretty damn good.
I absolutely love this one, and I think I'm slightly biased because I just love Fritz Weaver so much. And
well, he's like really what makes this episode.
Also, Anthony Held is really good in this. I think he has great comedic timing, especially for being like a dramatic actor. I mean, he's funny in like Bushwhacked or whatever, but like he's mostly playing a straight character in like Silence of the Lambs or Deep Rising or something like that, or Red Dragon or something. Everybody has such good chemistry, and we have three really funny people. And I'm going to echo what Chris said, where like I usually do not like the comedy episodes, especially in Tales from the Dark Side, because like they have no fucking place for me. I don't care if there's an alien involved. I don't care if there's a ghost involved or a fucking genie.
Like Hofgosh.
Yeah, or
Hofgosh.
Well, I like The Impressionist because it takes itself seriously. Whether it's funny or not is debatable.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, it's not a comedy episode. Jinno Chaser is a comedy episode. Comet Watch is a comedy episode, but it's written and acted so fucking well that I don't even mind that it's a fantasy sci-fi type deal. I'm with it. I just love it so much. It's one of my favorite episodes of this season, hands down, for sure. So yeah, Chris, you definitely have some Midnight Madness shows coming up, man. You want to tell us about that?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at IKEA-USA.com/circular. Visit IKEA-USA.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
Yeah, so I have a lot more Midnight Madness ahead. And if you haven't been there, I'm doing horror screenings about every 2 weeks in Red Bank, New Jersey, and playing the weirdest and wildest movies you'll ever see. So check it out on my Instagram, tape_hell. We'll have a little flashing link right here. But yeah, check it out. Midnight Madness coming soon, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, man, and you got a show coming up on February 3rd where you're going to be showing The Prowler, Necromantic, My Bloody Valentine, and Necromantic 2. That is a hell of a quadruple feature for that lovely Valentine's Day time of year. Definitely bring somebody to cozy up with in the theater for that one. And yeah, like Chris said, you can grab your tickets through tape_hell, or you can get them at the box office when you head to Basie Center Cinemas in Red Bank, New Jersey. Definitely check it out. So that's Comet Watch. Let us know what you think about this episode. If you're watching on YouTube, put it in the comments there. Maybe leave a like and subscribe if you could, please. And if you're listening on your favorite podcast app, leave us a 5-star review if you would be so kind. But until next time, I'm Joel Escola.
I'm Sean O'Rourke.
And I'm Chris Barr.
Tales from the Dark Side is always there, waiting for us to watch it, waiting for us to hit play. Until next time, try to find it on DVD and watch along with us.